Hi, this is Sherry Boaz, author of The Lily Trilogy, a tender and gritty series of novels proclaiming the dignity of every human soul. My debut novel, titled Until Lily, is endorsed by Bishop Olmsted of Phoenix. You can find out more about my books at my website, www.lilytrilogy.com. You know, our faith needs to be nourished by prayer and the sacraments. But I'm also wondering if you are taking any of those powerful Catholic vitamins found on the podcast by Deacon Tom and his lovely wife, Dee. You can be comforted in the knowledge that your faith is well nourished if you tune in each week. Catholic Vitamins, good faith from A to Z.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that is taking place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
You want to know how my voice is? This is how it sounds tonight. What do you think?
It's kind of iffy.
Iffy? All right, all right. I got to go back to the tune-up doctor.
I don't know. It just seemed like lately you've been having some more problems with it, getting tired.
Well, maybe I'm speaking too much, you think?
Maybe so.
Oh, my heavens. A deacon who can't speak too much
maybe
more.
You should be quiet.
Oh, yeah, I should. Gosh. Well, forget this.
Well, that would ruin our show, I guess, wouldn't
it? Yeah, it would. This is Catholic Vitamins. You're listening to the vocally impaired Deacon Tom.
And the hopefully sounding okay, Dee.
The lovely Dee, as everybody knows you around the internet.
And we are in episode 140 of right. Catholic Vitamins. And this week's vitamin is W.
Wonders. I think we had a couple guesses that weren't correct.
Right.
But that was kind of fun. And our guest, Dee, is someone that we are really blessed to be able to reach, given his notoriety, his busyness, his holiness, his travels. His name is Wayne Weibel.
We both read so many of his books years and years ago. They were so good.
And I've been passing, as you know, Dee, I've been passing Wayne Weibel's books on Medjugorje to a number of people in our parish back in Colorado and then our parish here now in Arizona. And we had the rosary in the home last night, and one of the ladies had borrowed Wayne Weibel's first book, Medjugorje, The Message, and she said she can't put it down. She said that she starts reading it and she wants to just keep reading.
And she's not a reader, she says.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, yeah. Dear friends, if you know anything about Medjugorje, one of the dames that started to bring the miracles, perhaps the alleged miracles or the real miracles, the appearances of the Blessed Mother, the one that started to bring all of this to the forefront would certainly include Wayne Weibel. So we have him as a guest. We're really blessed.
Would you like to stop and take a drink?
No.
Well, I can take over here for a second. And I could read a piece of feedback we got.
All right.
We heard from Marilyn Martin in our old stomping grounds of Woodbridge, Virginia. She says, I'm sorry to hear about Holly. I understand your pain. I, too, had to make that difficult decision with my German Shepherd, Raven, back in 2003. Not a day goes by that I don't think of her and miss her very much. You're in my prayers to help you with your loss.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
She says she has some more. She wants to comment on some recent podcasts, but she'd do that in another email.
Marilyn, I preached about are there pets in heaven or will there be pets in heaven? And I read a tribute to Holly that was sent to us on a beautiful card.
You read it? You kind of sobbed through it.
I blubbered through it. Well, I'm an emotional Irishman, and talking about Holly that soon afterwards with some very tender words made it pretty hard to just read that. But I think a lot of people were touched by by the homily.
They were. We had a lot of people come up to us and talk to us about that. I mean, a lot of people that know Holly because we take her everywhere with us. So
yeah. What else do we have, dear? Do we have any more feedback to share?
Brenda from Illinois wrote in and said the seven secrets of the Eucharist arrived today. That was one of her prizes, along with a sweet treat. My husband and I both thank you for feeding us, body and soul.
Mm.
By the way, you did not mislead on V for Vespers. I overthought it. For W, all I can think of is six-letter words, like waters, wishes, or longer words, like wanderings, worshipings. So if something else comes to me later in the week, I'll let you know.
Too late. Well, thanks for your email. Thanks for being a faithful listener. And we will be back.
Hail Mary. Hail Mary. Blessed are you. Holy are you. Mother to our Savior.
Many Catholics may wonder about the confusion or the commotion concerning Medjugorje over three decades, and yet many Catholics, and certainly now many Protestants and Jews, and know people who have been to Medjugorje, and they have had profound changes take place in their lives. Many have claimed miracles, and in fact, Deacon Tom and Dee know some people personally who claim dramatic results, even miraculous results. These are people we know and trust. And so we present this show on wonders and refer listeners to our Catholic Vitamins blog page, where we have some extended words about public revelation versus private revelation. We think you may find that helpful, and there are some resources listed there where you could look for more information. On our blog page, you'll find some words that indicate that the Bishop of Medjugorje has perhaps softened a little bit in his heart, and in a recent confirmation ceremony held in Medjugorje, talked about the beautiful promise of Medjugorje and that it may become the new Holy Land. So that's very promising. Up next, our special guest, Wayne Weibel. Next up on Catholic Vitamins, we are very honored, very blessed today to be on with Wayne Weibel, a name whom many of you may be familiar with, but for those who haven't heard of him and his work for the Blessed Virgin Mary, it's a real joy to welcome you, Wayne, to Catholic Vitamins.
Thank you. It's really my pleasure.
Thank you. And we're talking on a day when it is a holiday, so we especially appreciate the gift of your time. We're going to get into our topic of wonders that are still going on in the church, and wonders for us to behold. But let's start by asking Wayne to tell us about whether there ever was a young Wayne. And what was it like growing up as young Wayne?
Well, that's I guess as good a place as any to start. And a little bit of a difficult one with me because my childhood was not very good. My father was away during World War II, and my mother was not really capable of being, a very good mother. And I had a younger brother and sister, and basically we were left alone a great deal. And eventually we ended up in the foster care in the state of California. And I went through several sets of foster parents, none of which I think were as good as, and I know there are many in the industry of this that do a good job, but the ones I had unfortunately did not. Mm-hmm. So it made it sort of tough as a child growing up. Finally was rescued by an aunt and uncle in Nebraska who had three children of their own. They came and they got the three of us. So we had six. We were very poor, but we grew up in a beautiful little town called Llewellyn in Nebraska. And I just felt like I had been rescued. A wonderful aunt and uncle that took good care of us. And eventually my father, who had divorced my mother, remarried and was stationed in Charleston, South Carolina. And finally he was able to come and to get us. And that was like paradise to actually have a family, to have my father back and my mother, who was a very wonderful stepmother. I never really looked at her as a stepmother. I looked at her as a mother. And I speak of her in a bit of awe on this day because she just passed away 2 days ago. Yeah. And she was 91 and a half years old. And she died a very quiet and very peaceful death. So this particular holiday is a little sad, but I rejoice because I know that she is in her reward. But she really did a fantastic job as far as I was concerned. She is always very supportive of me. We never really had any problems. And she, throughout the years, has really been my mother and did a great job until the mother came along in my life, and that would be the Blessed Virgin Mary, who, when I first heard of Medjugorje, I just knew there was something very special there. I didn't know what. I didn't really know how to deal with it. But I just felt like there was something there that was meant for me. And, of course, when I heard about it, I had been married. I had been divorced. I had quit going to church altogether, very angry at God because my marriage had ended up in divorce. The last thing I wanted, having gone through the childhood that I went through. And for more than 7 years, I didn't go to church anywhere and just stayed that way. Finally, I remarried, and we lived several years together in marriage. Didn't go to church, didn't care about going to church. I started my own business. I'm a journalist, so I started a newspaper in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Eventually, with a lot of hard work and many, many hours, our business grew to 4 weekly newspapers and our own printing company, and we became very successful. For some reason, at some point, my wife suddenly decided maybe we should have a child. We had talked earlier, and she didn't really want children, and I didn't care. I already had 4 with my first marriage, but for some reason, she wanted a child. And I said, certainly, if you want a child, we'll try and have a child. We had a little boy. 2 years later, business is now very successful. The little boy is 2 years old. He's never been to church. And again, for some unknown reason, my wife thought maybe we should have him baptized, you know, just in case. Maybe it's the right thing to do. And I was totally against it. And it was because of that anger that was still there. Finally, I relented and I said, well, you find a church, I'll go 2 or 3 Sundays, and that's about it. Well, she found a Lutheran church not too far from my home, from our home. And she didn't even know that was my family's religion. Because we had never really discussed it. So we went to this Lutheran church, and after 3 Sundays, our child was baptized. Something happened. I was very resentful going, but something happened while I was there, and I thought, you know, maybe I need to stay here and stay in this. And so I did. Within 6 months, I was teaching a Sunday school class. I was president of the Lutheran Men's Association, and I was serving on the church council.
Isn't that the way it always is?
Yeah, I was up to my neck in the church, and the thing is, and it's hard to admit it, but I really still didn't believe any of it. I never really had a strong belief. But, you know, I thought, okay, I'm here. It's good for my child. It's good for us as a family. God works in these wonderful, mysterious ways. We overuse that phrase, but, you know, it's like a cliche, but cliches are true. That's why they become cliches. The mysterious way was to get me in a church, and a year or so later, one day talking about modern-day miracles, that's when I first heard about the apparitions of the Blessed Virgin Mary in that little village called Medjugorje. I had never heard of apparitions. I knew nothing about Lourdes or Fatima or Guadalupe, anything at all about the Blessed Virgin Mary. The only thing I knew about Mary was that she was Catholic. That was about the extent of it. And I looked at it that way. Well, that's part of the Catholic Church, and I'm a Lutheran, and, you know, we got it right after so many years, and therefore I didn't pay a whole lot of attention. But when we were discussing in the Sunday school class about modern-day miracles, and someone mentioned this, and my curiosity was up, and I thought, well, it might make a great story for my newspapers. So after the class, I asked her, can you give me any information? Are there any articles or books or anything on this? And she said, well, the person who told me, who's a Catholic friend, has a videotape that was just made, and it actually shows these young people right at the moment of the apparition. And now this is about 4 years after the apparitions had begun in June of 1981. So I thought, certainly that'll work fine. And I'll, you know, out of curiosity, I'll get to see what she's talking about with these apparition things. Well, I sat down several evenings later to watch that tape. And something from the very beginning was very present in my heart that said, pay attention, this is more than just a story. And true enough, as I listened to the people witnessing and what was going on there, I knew this was not just a story for my newspaper. Something inside of me just clicked. And I wondered, you know, how could this be going on for so many years and I've never heard about it, and I've never heard about apparitions at all. Well, halfway through that video, as I was watching, and the young visionaries were now shown, and they went to their knees at that moment of the apparition, all synchronized at the same time, looking up at the one spot where only they could see the blessed.
I'm with you.
And when that happened, something clicked inside of me again, and I thought, oh my God, this is real. And the very thought that this is real means, oh my God, you're real. And if you're real, you know everything about me. And you know that that sensation all of a sudden of guilt. Oh, you've caught me, I know. And as quickly as it came, it dissipated. And the next thing I hear, these beautiful words speaking directly to my heart, the only way I can put it. And she said, you are my son, and I'm asking you now to do my son's will. And I literally was in shock. I didn't know what to do or how to answer or if this was even real. But I remember just thinking, I don't know you. I don't know how you would ask me to do anything like this. But she just continued, I am asking you to make this your life's work. I
Wayne,
was so overwhelmed.
Wayne, before we get into your first trip, let me do a couple things to set the stage for what you're going to take us into. So, I am a deacon in the Catholic Church. I know that the church hasn't fully approved or endorsed the authenticity of the events at Medjugorje. So one time I need to do the word alleged for the miracles, wonders, and events. And then to say, you know, that I bought 5 of your books. I know that there are more. We'll get into that in a few moments. The first one that I bought and I have shared with many people is your book, Medjugorje, The Message.
The Message, yes.
And then I have here on my desk 4 other books. I don't know what the order of them is, but I have The Mission. I have Final Harvest. I have Letters from Medjugorje. And another one that's down under, oh, here it is here. A Child Shall Lead Them.
A Child Shall Lead Them, yes.
Yeah.
The most important of those, of course, is The Message, The Mission, and Final Harvest. those are the major, I feel, in my work, those are the major books that I've done.
And then the one thing I want to say is to let you know how much your writing and your message about what's going on there has moved my heart. I've shared these books with parishioners for lots of years, and I got an email from a friend and parishioner. "Dear Deacon Tom, I'm so excited about your upcoming interview with Wayne Weibel. He's like my new hero. I almost finished with the books. Sorry, I'm a slow reader. Can I return them to you after Mass on Friday morning? Thank you for letting me borrow them. I feel they are really life-changing. I feel so drawn to the Virgin Mary after reading them, and her first name is Michelle." And that's really what has happened in my heart. And I know for many, take us into that first trip to Medjugorje and then what you did afterwards.
The thing, just to give you a little chronological order, I know I went beyond my youthful years. But when I got that message in my heart, I was so overwhelmed that I watched that video a second time. And it was like a repeat. And, you know, I didn't know what to do with it. And then after several days, I'm thinking, did this really happen? And every time I would doubt it, it would be like she was there saying, yes, it did happen. So once you make a commitment to her, you know, she doesn't let go. I guess that's the best way to put it.
Amen.
She just does not let go until you let go, you know. But as long as you're there, she's going to make use of you. And all the books, the credit goes only to her.
Amen.
She could have chosen anyone, I feel. And I feel very blessed and very fortunate that she did choose me, and I'm very happy. You know, and I know that I can write. If I wouldn't be a journalist, if I didn't know that, I wouldn't be a very good one. But I never in my life envisioned that I would write books on something religious. That was not in my agenda at all.
Mm-hmm. So the old saying is, if you want to see God laugh, tell him your plans.
Yes, yes. And, you know, it takes a lot of years to understand that and to begin to live with it. And in the first, 26 years, I think I've been involved in this now. You know, I probably the majority of those years I kept thinking, but dear Jesus, I can do this or I can do that, or dear mother, I can do this, I can do that. And it's like they let you go until you mess things up, and then they step in and they clean everything up for you.
My memory from reading Medjugorje, the message, is that you actually went there a little more jaded, although you said just a couple of minutes ago that you felt called in your heart. But did you really this as more of a...
There was no doubt. There was no doubt when I went there. I did not go to prove it. I already believed it.
Mm-hmm.
I went there because she knew that my heart needed the seasoning, the teachings, before I could do what I was to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole story is incredible, the way it played out, because I went there in May of 1986, 8 months after she gave me that message. By that time, I'd read everything I could read about apparitions and about the Blessed Virgin and about everything I could. I still knew nothing about the Catholic Church, but I read everything I could about apparitions. So I knew what they were, but when I went there, it was not to prove it. There was no jaded part of me at all. And then when I walked into the Holy Mass, oh my gosh, that changed my life. And that's what she does. She leads us right to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And she led me to him through the Holy Eucharist. I was so overwhelmed. The minute I received him in Medjugorje, it was like, oh my gosh, I don't believe this has been here my whole life. I don't know about it. I knew it, and I had never read about the Eucharist. I knew it was his actual flesh.
Yeah.
I infused knowledge is the only thing that I can say, because I never studied that. I only had read about apparitions, and I knew nothing about the Eucharist whatsoever.
So when you came back from your first trip, you wrote, I think it's 8 columns about Medjugorje, and then you put them into a tabloid format. I have some of those newspapers right. in my files.
I actually did those. After she gave me that message, about 6 weeks after she gave me that message, I began to write.
Okay.
My intent was only to write one column. And as it turned out, I was so overwhelmed, I knew that one column would never do it. So I wrote as objectively as I could for the first four, and then I just had to come out and say, look, you know, I'm going to comment on what this has meant to me personally, and that was probably the remainder of what I wrote. It was very difficult as a journalist, but I knew that I had to tell people how I felt personally as well. And that series of eight columns was then printed into the form you're talking about in the little tabloid. That little thing has gone all over the world now to the tune of more than 125 million copies.
Oh, my.
That's beyond imagination to me. You know, we think we write a book, we think that's wonderful. Think about 125 million copies going everywhere without any organization, no marketing, no plan, nothing that we did. It just happened. People picked them up, they made copies of them, and they began to distribute them everywhere.
Are you still providing those, Wayne?
Yeah, we still do them. Not, of course, in the largest volumes that we did in the earlier days, but we still have them, and they're still available. People.
Yeah, we'll get into contact information in just a couple of moments. To explain a little bit about the format of our show, we use the idea of faith vitamins. A was for adoration, vitamin B was for beauty in the church, and you're with us today on our show dedicated to wonders. And there have been alleged miracles and alleged wonders. I'll tell you one very brief story. There's a priest that I'm close with back in Colorado who was about to leave the priesthood, and somebody gave him a free trip to Medjugorje, and he went there and started hearing confessions. And it turned his life around, and he's now an on-fire priest.
That's their fault.
Yeah, and I know in my heart that wonders are and have happened at Medjugorje. Do you have anything that you want to say in this area?
Yeah, I was totally unfamiliar with let's call them wonders, quote, wonders, unquote. I didn't ever pay a whole lot of attention to any of those things. But when this began to happen, then I began to see those little wonders in my personal life constantly, the little things that led up to the bigger things. Like going to Medjugorje in May of 1986, that was not the safest time to go to Europe. If you will remember, the Chernobyl accident had occurred, and there was a radioactive cloud, and it was in that area blowing directly toward Yugoslavia. And, of course, the Bosnia-Herzegovina was part of the Yugoslavian Republic. And everyone thought, you're crazy. You can't go over there in that. I just knew I had to go. And, of course, there was no damage. There was no problem with that whatsoever. But the wonder for me was when I got there. And, you know, I'm all excited like a little boy in a candy store because you're finally here. You're able to see the things that you've read about. And we got there just as two of the visionaries were coming out of the apparition room heading for the back of the Church of St. James. And they were going there to help vest the priest for the mass. And we were all very excited. You know, we got to see them walk into the back of the church. And then we ran to the front, ran into that church. It was jam-packed. And all of a sudden, the excitement or the sensationalism of being there just went away. I was absolutely swept up in the joy that was in that church with the liturgy, the response. And then when there must have been 40 priests on that altar, when they came off with the little dishes and started distributing communion, which is what I called it, and a priest walks up to me and gives me communion. And nothing up to that point was a wonder until I received it. And I'm telling you, I knew, without having ever read about it or studied it, I knew that was the flesh of Jesus Christ. And I didn't know what to do. I was so filled. To me, that was the greatest wonder, and it still is.
Mm. There was a guest on Catholic Vitamins about 5 or 6 shows back. She is from Sholo, Arizona. She and her husband are strong reverts to the Catholic faith. And she had MS and had been diagnosed as having something like 6 to 8 weeks left to live. And her husband virtually forced her to go to Medjugorje and dragged her up that hill or mountain there.
Yeah.
I haven't been there myself. And she was instantaneously healed. And I think she said on the show that 3 or 4 days later that she was walking and they've been out dancing and her life has changed. My wife, Dee, and I have had dinner with she and her husband. And she's the most alive dead person you've ever seen.
Do you know the name of that person?
I do. I do. Do you want it here publicly or...
Well, I may know who you're talking about. That's why I'm asking.
Oh, well, this was just within the last few years. And her name is Hillary Jones Rojo, R-O-J-O, and her husband, Mac, live in Arizona. And
I don't know that one.
Sure.
But that's wonderful.
Yeah, it is. It's wonderful. And I know a lot of people go there expecting to see, you know, people throw away their crutches and to see
yes.
the sun spinning. But I think my heart has been more formed by hearing stories about people discovering the Eucharist in the way that you described, or priests having their vocation reborn.
Yes, and as you said earlier, it is through the confessions. They've never heard such confessions in their lives as what they hear there. And that is, and I've seen so many priests, if you will allow me to use the word, converted. They had become just sort of lost in their priesthood and off on the wrong tracks. I've seen so much of that. And I've seen so many of them come back to their full priesthood because they've gone to Medjugorje. There's been nothing but great, great fruit that's come from this place, which is why before we're in, I think, into the first week of 2013, the church will make a formal statement on Medjugorje.
Right, right, right. Wayne, before we get into a little bit of the problem side of Medjugorje, I want to talk about the messages. I don't know if you have continued to study them or read them over the years.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, I do.
Can you, I know we should probably be reading each one, and I have not done that. Can you summarize any themes from the Blessed Virgin Mary's messages in Medjugorje?
Yes, it's a very, very defined theme to the messages that she has given us there, and it begins with prayer. If you do not have conversation with God, then you're not going to have a real chance of to convert. If you don't converse with someone, you really can't get to know that person. So, of course, her number one thing at Medjugorje is to pray, to begin prayer, to let prayer be everything in your life, let prayer be in the very first place. That is followed closely by fasting, a very formal word, I think, in our world today. We look at fasting as something of the old-fashioned part of the church, and it's no longer a valid part of the church today. Well, it is. In fact, she's called for this over and over, and she stresses, without prayer and without fasting, you cannot really understand why I'm here, what I'm doing. That, as Scripture tells us, there are instances where only prayer and fasting could bring about the miracles that Jesus desired through his disciples. You know, why can't we do what you're doing? These are special. They need prayer and fasting. So she stressed those two, and followed by the third, what I call foundation stone, which is penance. And to me, penance is an act of doing something for someone. We maybe look at it in a negative sense, but I look at penance as penance of love. So that maybe even if you're inconvenienced, you go out of your way to do something for someone, especially in your family or within your community or wherever, whatever you can do to become involved. So prayer, fasting, penance are the major stones of the foundation of the Medjugorje message. And, of course, she stresses confession and attendance to Mass as often as possible. So one priest there defined these as five stones of Medjugorje: prayer, fasting, penance, confession, and Holy Mass.
Okay, great. And we will try our best to share that message through our ministry on the internet with this program. Just in the interest of time, because we have so many areas that we could cover, and we are so grateful for your time, Wayne, there has been, the gentlest word that I can use is tension or problems between the local church, the bishop, and perhaps with Rome regarding Medjugorje. And I'm just wondering if you have anything that you have observed or feel about this.
All very strongly. In fact, I will tell you that I am presently working on a major book, and the title of that book is called The Conclusion. And the subtitle is How the End of the Apparitions of the Blessed Virgin Mary at Medjugorje Will Impact the World. So it's not a matter of me saying, I know it's coming to an end. Nobody knows that. But my point is that it's gone on for 31 years, and that the end is very near. The conclusion is near. The problems with the church between the bishop, let's say, and the Franciscans, that's where it starts, right there in that area, goes back to two major things. One is a matter of secular priests being introduced into the area that was heavily Franciscan order priests, and they were there for 400 years. So then when the secular priests started coming in and the bishops started trying to change parishes, there was great, great conflict. And that's been going on since, I think, the late 1800s, and to this day it's not been resolved. That is the crux of the problem with the present bishop, Retko Perich, who has had this strained relationship with the Franciscan order for a long, long time. The key to understanding why he's opposed to Medjugorje is not spiritual. It does not involve whether this is really of God or not of God. He does not believe in any apparition at all. No Guadalupe, no Fatima, no Lourdes, nothing. So that gives you a little bit of an idea of why there is this opposition. Now, if you look at the church itself, Pope John Paul II just absolutely loved Medjugorje. I know that personally because I had the blessing of going to a private mass with him and giving him copies of my books, and he lit up like a Roman candle. And all he wanted to do was talk about Medjugorje. Mm. Whenever bishops would go there on their ad limina visits, he would say, "Have you been to Medjugorje?" So there was no doubt. And it's the same with the bishop, or with the pope that we have now. Pope Benedict, who was Cardinal Ratzinger, who literally went to Medjugorje incognito at least two times. This is all but confirmed that he was there. It's very hard to hide that thatch of white hair of his. But he, too, is a very, very strong believer in Medjugorje. But he's doing the right thing. The church has to be cautious, has to follow the proper procedures. It's unprecedented that the church would organize a formal 17-member commission to begin an investigation of an apparition while it is still in progress. That has not ever been done before. This is total new territory. And I think when you look at the length of Medjugorje, the consistency of it, and the fruits that come from it, you will understand why the church now is making this very, very deep investigation into the apparitions. Hopefully they'll come out by the end of this year or the first week of the next year with this statement, which what I think is going to say, we still cannot say it's supernatural, and I'm just paraphrasing. However, we think Medjugorje, because of the fruits, is a shrine, and is a shrine of the first degree. And I think that would be sufficient enough for people to realize this is something extremely important happening in the world today. Amen. My personal opinion, Medjugorje is the most important event occurring in the world today.
All right. I have a couple closing areas to do. I want to tell you a quick smile I have often preached about Medjugorje in pretty careful terms, stressing that it hadn't been fully approved by the church or recognized. Sure. But then I talk about its fruits and conversions. And the first time that I did this in a parish where we had a young Polish priest, very young, first pastoral role, he talked to me after Mass and he said, you know, I'm not so sure you should be talking about Medjugorje. It hasn't really been approved. That was probably 7 years ago. He got a trip to Medjugorje, and now he's leading pilgrimages to Medjugorje. And I'm doing that as a smile to ask you about, aren't you also leading pilgrimages?
Oh, yes. That never was part of my plan. I had no idea that's what she wanted me to do. And it just started happening. And in the beginning, I looked at what was going on there, and I was very unhappy because it was so commercialized. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really want to be part of taking groups to Medjugorje when all they're thinking about is making money. And I actually had made I made a promise to a lady that I would go with one of her groups. And I told her, I said, I'll go with your group, and that's the last time I'm going. I said, I've seen the way it's handled, and I don't like it. And we went there, and we had five priests with us, and just a huge, we had 270 people, and one pilgrimage, if you can believe that. Mm-hmm. And it was so holy that I said to her, well, I'll go again. Well, I've been going with her now for like 17 years.
Wow. Wow. So when is your next pilgrimage, Wayne?
I will be taking a group over for the Youth Festival, which is the first week of August. I think it's July the 30th to August the 7th this year, which is the most wonderful experience to see 90,000 young people mm-hmm. over there in that place, singing, dancing, happy, going to Mass, going to confessions. You have to literally step over young people at the confessions.
Praise God. Praise God. Where can people reach you if they want to find your books, if they want to see what you've been writing about, or if they're interested in a trip?
We have a website, which is called MedjugorjeWeibel.com. You have to be able to spell Medjugorje and Weibel in order to get there. But it's, to say it again, it's MedjugorjeWeibel.com. If they just put my name in say, Google search, they'll come to that. They'll come to our website as well. We have our books. We have all the stuff and all of the information about our trips. If I might just add a footnote, I just returned from the Holy Land about 3 weeks ago for my first time there. Mm-hmm. And taken another group in January of this next year. That information will be on there. The only reason I bring this up is because I'd wanted all my life to go there, and every time I thought I was going to go, something happened. We didn't make it. And finally, I went with a very small group, and boy, what an eye-opener. And it, to me, it just solidified the messages of Medjugorje in my heart. To be there in that land and to see what's going on there, and frankly, to be surprised as a journalist at how peaceful it was. Because all you read in the media is how terrible everything is over there, and it wasn't. Everything was very quiet, very peaceful, very cooperative, and it was a wonderful trip. But Medjugorje, let me just repeat, to my own personal opinion, is the most important event in the world today. And every person of any faith needs to know about it and to learn about it.
Well, in our own faith walk on the program, we seem to have been blessed by a number of people that are helping us to look at issues such as this one on this show, and total consecration to Jesus through Mary, and a number of things that are heightening our awareness and our devotion and our love for Mother Mary. So we thank you so much for time from your busy schedule. Do you have any closing thoughts on?
Well, I just might want to add a thought, and I am Catholic today. People still ask me that question: would you ever become a Catholic? Yes, I did. 5 years after all of this began, I became a Catholic, and the reason I became a Catholic was because of the Holy Eucharist. Mm-hmm. But I stress everywhere I go that the messages that she's given are not just for Catholics; they're not even just for Christians; they're for every living person in the world today. This is God speaking directly to us with, I think, some of the most beautiful reiterations of Holy Scripture, just underlining what Jesus has given us in Holy Scripture.
I believe that I read someplace about Catholics going with you know, some Baptists and other Protestants, yes, and Jewish people. So the Holy Spirit is calling people together, and one of the ways that that's
absolutely
happening.
I've taken Baptists, I've taken Lutherans, Methodists, I've taken people of all faiths.
Praise God. Wayne Weibel, I just can't tell you what a joy it's been. We could do this over and over again, but I thank you so very much for the gift of your time.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
We will pray for you and your ministry, and maybe you'd remember us to Blessed Mother Mary in your prayers as well.
For sure. I certainly will. I thank you so much.
God bless, Wayne.
God bless you.
Dear, you were gone when I did the interview with Wayne Weibel. You know, we have some friends in the parish who are very anxious to hear this. So we'll all be listening to it. I'll be listening to it again once we put the show together.
And we have a friend from our former parish back in Colorado who is trying to get us to go to Medjugorje.
Yeah, she is. She's taken pilgrimages there. So, dear Jeannie, if you happen to hear this for any reason, you're in our prayers and in our hearts. The music that we used leading into the interview with Wayne Weibel was our friend Billy Tarasio, who was a guest on Catholic Vitamins quite a few episodes ago, and just an absolutely appropriate song, Hail Mary, and that's from her album Send Me, and Billy gave us permission to use her music when we had her on the show quite some time ago, and we enjoy playing her music.
I would really be put on the spot if somebody asked me to list my favorite musician that we've had on the show.
Oh, my heavens.
So many good ones.
I know. And, you know, we keep hearing about different ones.
Finding new ones, yes.
And finding new ones, you bet. Absolutely.
And I like to help expose some new ones that other people may not have heard about.
Okay, time to do a little teamwork, our Catholic Vitamins team. Excuse my voice. Mariana is not going to be with us for a missionary moment this week. She said that she's got all kinds of stuff going on, and I think she had a leak in the basement.
Ooh, a bad leak.
Yeah.
One of those stinky leaks.
Oh, gosh. Well, Mariana, bless you, a dear heart. Thank you for letting us know that you're not going to be with us, but next team member that's up is Fergal O'Neill from Naas, Ireland. But before we get started with his segment, I have a couple things to say. First of all, he sent you and I an email, Dee, and he said, "Greetings, friends. Last Monday night, I had the privilege of attending the ordination of 8 of our classmates who are 1 year ahead of us each and every one of them, solid men, and now Irish permanent deacons." And
yay!
And they are the first deacons in Ireland. Praise God. Praise God. It's just wonderful.
Monumental.
Yeah. So we looked at some of the pictures. And if you remember, I hadn't told you about this, Dee. Maybe we could post these on the Friends of Catholic Vitamins.
Okay. Help me remember.
I'll try to help you.
Oh, that's bad.
Fergal, you better send us another email. And also, speaking of Fergal, as we move into his contribution for Catholic Vitamins today, he sent us the music, which is the theme song for the International Eucharistic Congress, which is being held this weekend, starting this weekend.
In Ireland.
In Ireland, in Dublin. And dear Fergal has been given the keys to the kingdom. He's got a special credentials and uniform. And
I think he's working the whole time there. And
yeah,
he's going to be really, really busy.
But he said he's going to be attending some of the talks and participating in some of the shops. So that's just awesome. Heavenly Murgatroyd, don't you wish we were in Dublin at this time?
And,
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about trying to get to Ireland next year for his ordination. Well, now he's not sure it's going to be in June. He's making it sound like it may not be in June. Might be May, might be July.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I have to pit all this against Franciscan University, where, by the way, I'm going to be in a couple of weeks. You know that, Dee.
Yes.
So we'll remind our listeners that we are going to be leaving on a trip soon after this show is posted, God willing. We'll be heading to the Midwest and the East Coast. And while Dee is visiting her mom and siblings in Pennsylvania, I will be in Franciscan University at the Priest Deacon Retreat, getting my spiritual tank filled right to the top. Oh, I can't wait. All right. Well, let's listen to some of the music that Fergal provided us. This is, again, the theme for the International Eucharistic Congress. And the title of this is Though We Are Many.
Only this very morning, as I was making my way to Holy Mass, I witnessed something that really cut me to the heart, not because of any wrongdoing or malice, but because I witnessed a missed moment of communion between two individuals. Outside one of the hotels in the town was a man who obviously was very busy taking care of the litter that had accumulated overnight. He was wearing a fluorescent yellow high-visibility jacket, which marked him out as official, and also probably gave reason as to why I noticed him so quickly. The streets on Newbridge were empty, apart from one other elderly lady who was making her way down the street in the man's direction, with the morning paper under her arm. She was strolling at a leisurely pace, and as she approached the man, her focus of attention became progressively more focused on him. When she came within earshot of him, she paused and greeted him, and obviously from what I could see from my car, had a question or a point of conversation with which she wanted to engage with him. The man had his head down, clearly focused on doing the task allotted to him, but he never raised his head to return the woman's communication. She got a little embarrassed and took a step forward for us to go on, but paused again and turned, speaking perhaps the same line of communication for a second time. To my discomfort, the man again was oblivious to her presence. She wanted to communicate. He had work to do, and the two worlds simply didn't collide. She walked on a little further, and again for a third time stopped and turned in the man's direction. She was still trying to communicate with him, but now she realized what she probably felt from the outset. She had no audience. Composing herself back into her initial leisurely stride, she turned the corner of the street just about the same time as I did in my car. And as I looked in the man's direction, I realized that he was sporting a large pair of headphones, which, although they have their uses and bring pleasure to many, held him in one sense a prisoner, alienated from God-given moments of communion. The intrusion of noise also prevented him from beholding the wonder of the other, and indeed the wonder of entering the school of interaction, which seals all individuals as teachers and learners. For those of us who have attended the birth of a child, the sense of wonder that pervades the delivery room at the moment of and in the moments following the birth is immense. We cannot comprehend the mystery, and so our wonder is expressed in silence, which is the most fitting response. What we tend to forget over time is that the very mystery of that unique individual made in the image and likeness of God continues within that individual from the moment of conception to the moment of natural death. It is so easy for us to lose sight of this wonder because, as the old adage goes, familiarity breeds contempt. Missing the wonder of the human person is akin to seeing the beautiful roses, but not stopping to smell their scent. How easy it is for all of us to underappreciate the unique work of creation that the other person is. We see and focus on externals because it is easy, and we tend to forget or block out or allow the world to shadow over the emotions, the loneliness, the hurt, the need, the wisdom, the energy, the love, and the gift of the other. We, as Catholic Christians, should strive for real and authentic communion with Christ and with one another on a level that causes others not only to take notice of our difference, but to feel a real desire to proclaim, "See how they love one another." Catholic Christians everywhere, and indeed all those who profess a belief in God made visible in Jesus Christ, need to remember that the wonder of each and every human individual that God places in our line of history must be met with the gift of self, which serves only to promote a communion of love and self-giving.
Thank you, dear Fergal, all the way from Naas, Ireland. And Dee, I just printed off, let me see if I can find it here, I just printed off something from Fergal. He wants to know if there's an annual retreat for the Catholic Vitamins treat team somewhere in the sunny state of Arizona. Wishful thinking. He said the weather's been terrible in Ireland.
Well, you know, Fergal, we hadn't given that a thought until you mentioned that, but I think that's a wonderful idea.
Yes. So let's see. How can we help? Okay. Well, that'll be the end of All right. Okay. Well, we'll think about
well,
it.
Well, we'll provide the venue. We know where we can have a retreat.
Breath of life. Good for you, Dee. Very good. All right, we have a retreat center we guarantee will work.
So, Justin, Mariana, Fergal, all of you. Yeah. You just have to figure out how you're going to get here.
All right, so we'll talk to the board of directors, and we're going to decide when, and we know the where, and you'll have to work on airplane fare, all of you. God bless and safe traveling. Would you believe that I travel by car from Galway to Naas, which is almost coast to coast, last Monday, in 1 hour and 45 minutes? That might give you an idea as to how small Ireland really is. Well, Ireland looms big in our hearts, but you're right, that does sound pretty small. We used to live in the Washington, D.C. area. We also lived in the Houston area, and it would take a good hour and a half to get around any of those.
Just to get from one side of the city to the other.
Yeah, exactly. Well, dear friends, we thank Fergal for his contribution. We thank those who provided music. And speaking of music, today is the Feast of Corpus Christi as we finish this podcast and get it ready and edited to put on the air. Russ Rentler provided us with a song a little while back, a composition of his own called Bread of Heaven. So we'll close the show after our normal closing. We'll do that. And we thank Russ Rentler.
Oh, we had an email from Gabriella in Texas a while back. I didn't read it last time. I think I had it printed off and I didn't read it last time.
She had been to see the movie For Greater Glory.
Yeah. She said, "I have not cried that much in a movie in a long, long time. You see, I'm not only Mexican, but I knew that my dad had to be baptized in secret in a later period of time than the movie story." And then she continued on, "I felt so inspired by the movie and to know that we have all these saints in heaven praying for my country was overwhelming. This movie is very relevant to our situation here in the States as well as to many other countries."
Gabriella, we still have one copy left of Battle for the Faith in Mexico, Viva Cristo Rey, from Patrick Madrid. He's the one that's speaking on this CD. The next person who responds to catholicvitamins@gmail.com or calls our feedback number, sorry for the paper rattling, 206-350-3789. The next person who sends in words and says Patrick Madrid CD, we'll be happy to send that to you. It's the telling of that story.
Yeah, I've already sent one out this week.
All right. Well, dear, I guess you said before we started to back on the air that we're not going to do a real Vita Scrabble this time.
No, because, you know, vitamin X is that one that's the hardest.
Yes, it is.
And also, since we're going to be traveling and we just don't know really what we want to do for X or when we'll get a chance to do it.
We need some extra time.
We need some extra time, yeah. So we're just not going to do a promo here for the next vitamin. We're not going to have any guesses for the next vitamin.
Those who've been with Catholic Vitamins for a while know that I sometimes try and capture or corner a few of the people at Franciscan University, and Scott Hahn will be there, and Father Dave Pivanka, as I mentioned earlier, and Kimberly Hahn and Father Francis Martin. So there'll be some wonderful people, and I might get a 10 or a 15 minute interview here or there.
So we might just put up an extra episode.
So, dear, you have a Vita Minute?
No, we have a Vita Scrabble winner for this time.
Oh.
We have Linda White in Texas.
Once again, Linda, thank you so much.
Correctly guess wonders.
All right. Thank you for that.
Okay. I'm going to go out. Are we ready to go?
I think so.
All right. I have a Vita Minute. This comes from my favorite little meditation calendar. There are three ways of touching God in the Blessed Sacrament: in deep faith, and love for priests, and in our neighbor, especially our forgotten, lonely, hungry, thirsty, dispossessed neighbor.
Mm. Very deep, very deep. Dear, I was out to the Boy Scouts, as you know, my second week in a row. I didn't record my homily this week, but I talked to them about miracles, especially Eucharistic miracles. And I really think there was about 80 boys, young men.
That's wonderful. You said only about 50 last week, so yeah. This is great.
Yeah, and they were really giving me rapt attention to the subject of Eucharistic miracles. And I told them about one that took place for St. Anthony of Padua, and they were really fascinated. Praise be Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, now and forever. I guess that's about it.
Bye.
From A to Z, Catholic Vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings.
This production is affiliated with SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
Here I am once again, on my knees, trying to comprehend how you, my God, should come to me. Looks like bread and tastes like wine, but with eyes of faith I see the body of Christ. With eyes of faith I see Jesus Christ. Angels watch endlessly. They never tire of this mystery that you, my God, should come to me. Thank you. Oh, my Jesus, I now receive all the graces I'll ever.